Today's daf is Pesachim daf Nun Gimel Tere Shir, sponsored by Avi Rodin, Lizchus Refor Shlema for Chaim Yosef Ben Rus, Shav Refor Shlema Bekarov, and we thank Avi for the sponsorship. We are holding on the bottom of daf Nun Beis on Beis. I want to go back to discuss again the topic of Rabbi Yulai cutting down the palm trees, and the Gemara is going to try to figure out how he was allowed to cut down palm trees during Shemitah. The halacha is that one is not allowed to destroy Shemitah produce. The Gemara is then going to discuss details about the Shas HaBiur, whether different fruits or what the Shas HaBiur is for different fruits, different simanim about where different fruits grow, and therefore and how that affects the Shas HaBiur. And then we're going to move on in Mishnah Numan Aleph. It's going to discuss two different halachas: the Isser of selling animals to Goyim, selling large animals to Goyim, and the Minog of not even selling small animals to Goyim, as well as the potential Minog of or Isser of eating roasted meat on the night of the Seder. Then the Gemara is going to elaborate on the story of Todos Ish Romi, who encouraged people to dafka eat roasted meat on the night of the Seder. And then at the end of the daf, we're going to have another Mishnah on the daf that's going to discuss the minhag to either light or not to light candles in the house and in other places on Yom HaKippurim, and what the motivation behind each of those minhagim might have been. But let's again go back to discuss this story of Rabbi Eloi, about 12-15 lines before the end of the 12 lines, I would say, before the end of the page. Rabbi Eloi cut Kafniyasa de Shvius. Rabbi Eloi used to cut down a date tree, a palm tree, during Shemitah, even though it had dates on it, and the Isser is, there's an Isser to cut down, to destroy Shemitah produce. So, how is he allowed to do this? After all, the Torah says li'achla, that the Shemitah fruits are meant to be eaten, but v'lola hefzid, you are not allowed to destroy Shemitah fruits. That's why we've mentioned in the past, when a person has a bottle of wine that has Kedusha Shvius, we're not allowed to use that wine for cooking, or for spilling over to put out the Ner Havdalah, because you're supposed to only eat it, you're not allowed to destroy it. So a couple of points before we even get to the answers. Point number one, if you were told that a great Tano or Amora cut down a fruit-bearing tree, the first kasha should not be about Shemitah. The first kasha should be that there's an Isser we just learned, this is our first Avyomi coincidence of the day, there's an Isser we just learned in this past week's Parsha about Bal Tashchis, about one not being allowed to cut down fruit-bearing trees. So isn't that itself a problem? So Tosus raises this kasha in Maseches Brachos and Daflam Vavam Beis, and Tosus says the Mishnah must be talking about a tree that does not produce much fruit. If the tree produces less than a kav of fruit, so the shita of Rav in Maseches Baba Kama is that it's mutter to be kotzeitz such an ilan. It's not a problem of Bal Tashchis. However, it's still going to be a problem of being mafsid whatever peros the tree does produce during the Shemitah year. Tosus also is mitaritz, and this is the way the Rambam seems to understand the Pirush Mishnayos, that the Isser during Shemitah is even if a person cuts down a tree where the lumber that one is going to get from the tree is more valuable than the fruits that one can get from the tree. When it comes to the Isser of Bal Tashchis, if the tree is much more valuable for its wood than it is for its fruits, it's mutter to cut down such a tree in terms of Bal Tashchis, but in terms of the Isser being mafsid perush shviyus, that's not going to be mutter. And then there are several other answers that the Rishonim give, that maybe the Isser of Bal Tashchis is only when you cut down the entire tree, not if you just cut down some branches. There are other heterim for the Isser of Bal Tashchis, if it's being mazik someone else's field, that's also mutter mishum Bal Tashchis, but in terms of destroying perush shviyus, it may not be mutter. So that is point number one over here about Rabbi Eloi cutting down the tree, because after all, says the Achla v'lo lehefzid. Now, just parenthetically, once we mention this din of li'achla v'lo lehefzid, that the mitzvah is that you're allowed to eat Shemitah fruits, but you're not allowed to destroy Shemitah fruits, so does that mean that no other usage of Shemitah produce is ever acceptable except for eating it? So it's a beferish of Mishnah and Shviyas, not so. The Mishnah and Shviyas in the 8th parak of Shviyas says that if you have Shemen Shel Shviyas, you're allowed to be madlik with it. You're allowed to light Shemen Shel Shviyas. You're allowed to use it to light your home with Shemen Shel Shviyas. But there is a discussion in the Achronim. What about if you want to light Ner Chanukah with Shemen Shel Shviyas? Is that mutter? So the Ridvaz writes that Ner Chanukah you cannot do with Shemen Shel Shviyas, because you're not allowed to use the Or of Ner Chanukah. And the Iker point over here is Li'achla, is that you're supposed to use the Shemitah produce in a way that you're going to benefit in the most efficient and strongest way from the Shemitah produce. So if you're not going to be able to benefit from the Or of the Ner Chanukah, so one should not light Ner Chanukah with the Shemitah produce, with the Shemitah oil. Rav Shlomo Zalman, however, Mincha Shlomo, Chelek Aleph, Siman Mem Beis, does not agree. He thinks that one can light Neros Chanukah, because he says that this is not an issue of mitzvos lav lehanas nitnu, that you're not getting hana'ah from it because you are lighting something that you're not going to be able to benefit from. He says the issue is not at all one of mitzvos lav lehanas nitnu. It's the Rav Shlomo Zalman says the reason for the iser to light ner mitzvah with shemen shel shviyas is because you have to benefit from the etzem shemen and not just to get a side benefit. So when it's even if it's not l'tzorich mitzvah, if it's just a side benefit and not a direct benefit, let's say someone says go light shemen shel shviyas in a room where no one's going to be, and I'll pay you $50 for it. So I'm not doing it because I want the light at all. I'm not doing it because I'm benefiting from the light at all. I'm doing it because I'm benefiting from the $50 that the person is going to give me. So that's a revach tzadi. That is a side benefit. So that's considered being mafsid perushvius for some side benefit. So according to that, l'tzorach mitzvah is going to be asr as well, because the Gemara says in Sukkah that if a person takes lulav shel avod zarah, even though it's asr b'ana, he's yotzi es chiyuv, because mitzvah slav lehanos nitnu. And the Ritva explains that even though he's nene from the isr, because he's getting schar in olam hazeh and in olam haba, but that's not called nene from an isr ana, because he's not being nene from the isr itself. It's ana that comes on the side. It's a side benefit. So says Rosh Hashanah, based on that, it could be that the iser of being mafsid perushvius l'tzorech mitzvah is only when you're being mafsid l'tzorech haktaras ha'omer. But if you're madlik ner Chanukah, maybe that's not an iser, because even though you're not allowed to use the ner Chanukah, that's not called being soreif the shemen, that for some side benefit. Because just like it's mutter to be madlik a lot of neros of Shemitah around your store in order to draw attention to your store, even though you don't need light, you're just trying to draw attention to it, that's called getting hanah from the shemen itself. So he says the same is true by Ner Chanukah. You light Ner Chanukah and it draws attention. So that's called a normal benefit that's directly from the shemen. It's not considered to be a side benefit. So Shlomo Zalman thinks that it would be mutter to light with shemen shel shviyas, to light Ner Chanukah with shemen shel shviyas. There is also a discussion: how much is this a mitzvah? When we say la'achla v'lo lahefsid, is it a normal losase in the Torah of lo lahefsid, or is it somehow connected to la'achla, that there's a mitzvah achila, or even if it's only a heter achila, but it follows the gedarim of achila? The Achronim discussed, the Ritvaz again discusses what would be the nafkamina. What if you destroy less than a kezayis of peros of shviyas? So does this follow the gedarim of achila? In achila pachus mikazayis, achila is only because, or do we say no, liachla is just what you're supposed to do with it, v'lala hefsid, but the iser is hefsid, and hefsid is anything, even pachus mikazayis. So that's also a major discussion in the Achronim, and they discuss in terms of using shemen shel shviyas, like we mentioned before, for havdalah, that the minhag is quoted in Shulchan Aruch to pour over the kos of Avdalah, pour more wine than you need for the kos, let some pour over. So nafkamina maybe, can you do that with Shemitah wine? If the issue is only because Zai is, so then maybe you could just pour a little bit over. You're not allowed to use it to put out the candle. So they discuss, is there any way that you could be Mekayim that minhag of pouring over the wine pouring over the Avdalah wine with Shemitah wine, which a lot of people have Shemitah wine around the house. So some of the Acharim suggest you could still be Mekayim the minhag, you just can't put out the Avdalah candle with it. You could pour over the kos, and then whatever you have left in the plate, you could drink that also. Pour it back in the kos and drink that also. And that way you'll be Mekayim the Simen Bracha of the Shefa of wine, but who says that you have to put out the candle with it? So don't put out the candle with it. You put out the candle some other way. But anyway, that would be the nafkamina in terms of the Achila. But back to our sugya. So our Gemara raised the question, how is Rabbi Elayel allowed to cut down the tree After all, he's being mafsid perus of Shemitah. So says Gemara, are two possibilities. First possibility, v'chitei mani mila hechad anachas lepira, aval hechad anachas lepira lo. Maybe that's only a problem once the fruit is already developed, but when the fruit is not really, when it's not really growing full fruit, so then it's not going to be a problem. V'am rav nachem ram rabba ravua, hani maschli da'arla, asiri hol v'nasu shomer lepiri. But that's not the case, because we find that their shame pri is chal, even at a very early stage, because we find that Rav Nachman Amar Abaravua says that even at an early stage, something already becomes a shomer lepiri, the shomer lepiri emasava bekufri. These maschli darla, these little shells that grow around certain fruits, are already considered a shomer lepiri, and this happens at the stage of kufri, which is a very early stage in the growth of the fruit, the kakari luhupiri, and we still call the fruit a fruit, even though it's still very early on. So says Gemara, now Rav Nachman Dama Krabi Yossi, Enochinami, Rav Nachman would consider it a pre at a very early stage, but he assumes like the Shita of Rabbi Yossi. Zitzan, Rabbi Yossi Amri Smadar Aser, Mibrei Shu Piri. Rabbi Yossi holds even a Smadar, which is a grape at a very early stage of its development, is already going to be Aser Mishum Allah, is going to have a din of a pre. But Upligi Rabbanan, the Rabbanan don't agree with that. The Rabbanan think that at such an early stage it's not yet called a pre, and Mela Rabbi Eloi was allowed to cut down this tree because it was at a very early, the fruits were at a very early stage and were not yet peros of Shavias. They didn't have the din of peros of Shavias. So Maskov Siminardo, me pligi Rabbanan Lady Rabbi Yossi Beshari Lanos. Wait a second, the Machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan was about grapes. Grapes at the point of Smadar, do they have a din of a pre or not? But by other fruits do the Rabbanan say that in the early stages it does not have a din of a pre yet. Vatanan, we have a mission that says otherwise. When do we not cut down trees during the Shemitah year? Beishamai says all trees mishiotziu, meaning when the leaves come out already, when the buds come out during the days of Nisan. Ubeisilalomrin hacharuvin mishiyishrishru, that charuv trees when looks like there are chains of charuv around the tree. Vagafanim, grapevines, mishayagriu, when the grapes grow a little bit to the stage where they're called girua, which the Gemara is going to explain is when the grapes are the size of a pulalavan, of a certain type of bean. Vahazesim, olive trees, mishayanitsu, at the stage where they get to where the nates shalahen grows, where they become also a little bit larger. So this is the Mishnah's defining when fruits have the status of fruit, legabe shmita, visharkol ilanos mishiotziu, and every other tree when it grows, when it comes out, when the fruits start coming out. Vamrabasi, hu boser, hu girua, hu polalaven. In describing what the stage of grapes are to have the status of perushvius, Ravasi explains boser, girua, and polalaven are all the same thing. So polalaven, what do you mean polalaven is a bean? What does that have to do with a grape? Eleima, shiru kapula lovin. It means a grape that's the size of this kind of bean. But bottom line, uman shamele damar boser in smadar lo. Who's the one that says that boser is that boser is the shear and not smadar? That only when it's at the stage of boser, when a grape is at the stage of boser, is it going to have the status of a fruit? But when it's at an earlier stage of smadar, it's not going to have the status of a fruit. Rabbanan vikatani, and the rabbanan are the ones that hold that way. And nevertheless, it says shar kali ilanos mishayotziu, that apparently the Rabbanan agree when it comes to all other fruits. So we wanted to say that why was it that Rabbi Eloi was allowed to cut down the trees? Because it was at a very early stage and therefore they don't yet have the status of fruits, and that follows the sheet of the Rabbanan that the grapes at a smadar stage do not have the status of fruits. So frankly, Gemara, that's not true. That's only true about grapes, but the Rabbanan would agree to Rabbi Yossi that by shar kali ilanos, even when it first starts coming out, when the buds first start coming out, it already has the status of fruits. So we're back to the Kasha. How was Rabbi Eloi allowed to cut down these trees? He should not have been permitted to cut down these trees. He's destroying very tiny fruits of Shemitah. So says the Gemara, second possibility. Ela Rabbi Eloi bidinistani cuts. He cut down a male palm tree, not a female palm tree. And as Rashi points out, bidinistani cuts tamarim shaldekel zachar veinan mispashim bo olamis. Such dates that grow on a male palm tree never become ripened, and therefore it's not going to be a problem of destroying peros of Shemitah. Period. Tana Rabbana, new issue. Ochlin ba'anavim, so discussing the Shas Abir, so again, the basic rule is that one is allowed to continue to eat Shemitah produce in their own home, provided that it's still available l'chaya min asada, that it's still not kala l'chaya min asada, it's still available out in the fields. So the Brisa quantifies when that is. Tana Rabbana, ochlin ba'anavim, ad sheyichlu d'loyos shel ochal. Ochal is the name of a place, Rashi points out, makom kramim, it's a place that had a lot of vineyards, that one can eat grapes until the grapes are no longer available in that place. If there happens to be a place where there are still grapes even later on, so then you can eat from that as well. You can eat zesim until they're all gone from a place called Tekoa. Reb Lezer says until they're all gone from a place called Gush Chalav. These are just different places where these items typically last the longest. So that's how we're defining Kala L'chaya Min Asadeh. Kedei She'ani Yotzei V'ani Motzei Lo B'Nofo V'lo B'Yikaro Rova Ochlin. The point is that it should get to a point where the Ani can go out and he's not going to be able to find a decent amount of this food out anywhere. B'Grogros Ad She'yichlu Pagei Beis Hini. You can continue to eat Grogros until the Pagei Beis Hini are gone. Amra Yudala Husgru Pagi Besini Linyan Meiser. Pagi Besini va Ditanya, it should be Pagi Besini Vahini Dituvina Chayavin Bemeiser. That we only say Pagi Besini not about when the Shasabiur is. Pagi Besini is a different halacha. It was only mentioned in the Beis Medrash to be considered a pre, or to mention it as a pre, when it comes to the halacha of Meiser. That these Pagi Besini are Chayavin Meiser, even though they're very, very small, because they never get big. They always remain small, and therefore they're considered a fruit that's chayv meis, but has nothing to do with the shas abir. But bottom line is, the Brisa tells us when these different types of fruits are considered to be gone from the fields, when therefore have a chiyuv biur. So the Rishonim asked the very basic question. This is against the Gemara we learned yesterday. In yesterday's Gemara we learned that Eretz Yisrael is chalukah la'arotzel shonos. There are three different lands of Eretz Yisrael. There's Eivar Yarden, Yehuda, Galil, and it has to be dafka finished in your part of Eretz Yisrael in order for your chiyuv biur to set in, and if it's finished in another part of Eretz Yisrael, it's irrelevant to you. And over here, we make no mention of that. We just say that we give specific locations. It's gone from this location. That's the shasabir. Sounds like that's the shasabir for everybody, but that shouldn't be the shasabir for everybody. That should be the shasabir for people in that region of Eretz Yisrael. So Chaznish explains that the brisa is not mefarish which land these shiurim are said about, because the Brisa picks the latest possible zman. Meaning what the Brisa is telling us is by the time it's gone from these places, then it's vade gone from all three lands. So if you're under the impression that you think that it's still available in your location, once it's gone from these particular locations, you can be absolutely certain that it's gone from everywhere. Okay, but bottom line is the Brisa defined this, quantified the Shas HaBiur based on specific locations, but not based on specific times. It didn't give dates. It never told us by Pesach, by Shavuos. It just gave specific places where if it's gone from this place, then you know you have the Shas HaBiur. So, frak the Gemara, Ochlan b'tamar mashiach ha'achron shabatsar, b'shugum liyamra, Ochlan al shal ben hakipin, ve'in Ochlan al shal ben hashitzin. So we said you continue to eat dates until they're all gone from Tzohar, and Rav Shmuel Liel says it has to be gone from between the branches. You can continue to eat if it's still available in the branches, but you cannot continue to eat if it's only available in the thorns, because we mentioned between the thorns the animals aren't going to have access to it. Uriminhi, but Alaska Stibra that defines these things very differently. Ochlin ba'anavim ada Pesach, b'zeisim ada Atzeres, b'grogros ada Chanukah, b'tmarim ada Purim. We have another brisa that defines not based on specific places when it's going to be gone, but specific dates. V'amr Rabbi Rabbi Yochanan Tarti B'Sreis Machlif, and Rabbi says Rabbi Yochanan just switched the last two dates. But the bottom line is that it's defined by dates. It's not defined by the specific place. So Gemara has two answers. First is Idividi Chachiruhu. It's the same thing, that in a specific location, when are the Zesim going to be finished? That location that we defined is also what lines up with the with what this price says. Let's say when this price says you have Zesim Adat Seres, so you should should know that in the previous brisa, when we said that you can continue to eat zesim until they're all gone from Tekoa, when are they all gone from Tekoa? At Seres. So that it all lines up. It happens to be the same exact thing. V'iba yisem, a second possibility, a katani behedya, im yesh mu'ucharos mehen ochlen alehen. It says, beferish, in the brisa, that if there are later ones, then you can continue to eat from those. So the brisa that's giving us these manim, the particular dates, is telling us when the latest date would ever possibly be. But the first brisa allowed for the possibility that there might be later ones around. Tanya, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Lomer, Simon Laharim Milin. If you want to know if you're in a mountainous region, a good thing for a very common thing you find in mountains are gallnut trees. Simon LaAmakim, a good sign for knowing that you're in a valley is that it has dekalim, it has date trees. Simon LaNechalim, kanim. Streams always have reeds. Simon l'shvala, shikma. A plain always has sycamore trees. V'afal pishen raya l'davar, zecha l'davar. Even though there's no raya, there's a zecha to this. Shenemar, v'yitein ha-melech ha-sakasuk b'yushlayim kavanim, v'esha-razim nasan kishakavim asher b'shvela l'rov. Simon l'harim mil... So, okay, what did we just say? What was this all about? We just stammer mentioning what grows where in different types of regions. Simon l'harim milin, simon l'amakim dekalim, nafkaminu l'bikurim. The fact that we had to be told that gallnut trees grow in mountains and that palm trees grow in valleys, that's a big nafkamina when it comes to the mitzvah of bikurim, ditnan, because the Mishnah says, ein mevin bikurim ela mishivas haminim. You can only bring bikurim from the seven minim that Eretz Yisrael is praised with, v'lomi dekalim shebaharim, v'lomi peros sheba'amakim. But it has to also be from a place where that fruit grows best. If you have a palm tree that's growing in New York, that's not growing in Florida, whatever, that's growing in a place where it's not ideal for that palm tree to be growing, then there's no din of bikurim on the tamarim of that palm tree. So we need to be told that in a har, a gallnut tree grows really well, and in a valley, that's where a dekel grows very well. So that's important. The nafkamina for that is if you have a dekel that's growing in a har, you don't have to bring those fruits as bikurim. Similar to chalim kanim, why do I need to know that reeds grow in a nachal, that reeds grow in a stream? So nafkamina l'nachal esan. Nafkamina is again second afyomi coincidence, just said in this past week's parsha at the very end of the parsha of Egla Arufa. So where does Egla Arufa happen? Only in a nachal esan. It can only be done in an area that's a nachal. How do I know if it's a nachal? Well, look for reeds. If there are reeds that are growing there, then you know that it's a nachal. Simon l'shvala shikma, nafkamina l'mekal chumemkar. The simon for a shvala is for a plain is to have sycamore trees. So nafkamina would be for mekal chumemkar. That if somebody advertises that he's selling a plain, then the land must have shikma. If it doesn't have shikma, then it was false advertising. Says Mar Hashla das lahachi kulunami l'mekal chumemkar. Once we give that nafkamina, well then it's easy. That could be the nafkamina for all of them. If you advertise that you're selling a mountain, so it's got to have gallnut trees in it. If you advertise you're selling a valley, so it has to have the column in it. So that once you have that nafkamina, that could serve as a nafkamina for all of them. Chassam Sofer is an interesting remez over here. He says that that these simanim maybe are a remez to different types of people. He says that harim is a reference to rishayim, who are balei gaiva. So simon lezeh is milin, that rishayim like to talk a lot. That riboy devarim brings about a lot of averos. Pasuk says in Mishlei, barov devarim lo yecht al pesha, person speaks a lot, he's not going to be able to avoid sin. So that simon laharim is milin, is someone who speaks a lot. Simon la'emek, the emek is the tzaddik, is dekalim. Dekalim is tzaddik katamar yifrach. The dekel is the dates, and that's the tzaddik. Simon l'nechalim, he says, nechalim are the bati midrashos. Pasuk says, k'nechalim n'tayu kalim nata, that's the pasuk in Chumash, in Bamidbar. So kanim, the simon is the kanim. The kanim are many chachamim. The Gemara in Brachos describes that haroa kana b'chalom yitzapa l'chachma. Someone sees a kana in a dream. You see a reed, so that's a symbol for chachma. Simon l'shvala, shvala means atzlus. Someone who's lazy is shkamim. What's the characteristic characteristic of a sycamore tree, it's only used for its lumber because it doesn't produce any peiros. So someone who's lazy is never going to produce any peiros, no matter how talented and how bright he is. Someone who's lazy is never going to be able to produce anything of any value. Okay, new Mishnah. Two halachas in this Mishnah. Number one, makom shnagel limkar be'medakel l'nachrim mochrin, makom shlo nagel limkar ein mochrin. If you're in a place where the minig is to sell small animals to a guy, then you can sell small animals to a guy. If the minig is not to, then one should not sell small animals to a guy. Why would there be a minig not to sell small animals to a guy? So Rashi says the reason for such a minig would be that chashash that you might come to sell large animals. What's the issur to sell large animals to a guy? We'll get to that in the next line of the Mishnah. Other Rishonim, however, explain Tosfos, Miri, Ritva, say that the reason that some place had a minig not to sell small animals to a guy is that they're chashad on revia, that they're chashad on bestiality. So even though they would never do it to their own animal, the Gemara assumes in Avodah Zarah that they wouldn't do it to their own animal because of chashash emet hayakir. They're afraid that they're going to cause the animal to be unable to reproduce, and that's going to cost them money, and therefore they're not going to commit bestiality with their own animal. But these places had a minhag to be choshesh for that concern. The Miri says that the reason, according to Yerushalmi, is that when you sell a behemoth to a guy, you're being mafkia it from mitzvahs, that there are many mitzvahs related to our animals, mitzvah reishis hageiz, and even if you're selling a goat and not a sheep, you're being mafkia it from bechora, and even if it's a zacha that's not yoled, that's not molded, you're being mafkia from the matnos kuhuna. So there are a lot of mitzvahs that relate to animals. Maybe the minig not to sell even behemoth daka to a guy was because he didn't want to be mafkia the mitzvahs from these animals. So the Miri points out that's very difficult, because then you shouldn't be allowed to sell anything to a guy. You shouldn't be allowed to sell wheat to a guy because you're being mafkia midei chala, yayin or shemen or anything because you're being motzi midei any food. You're being motzi midei bracha. Someone could have made a bracha on it. Now no one's going to make a bracha on it. So very difficult to understand that line in the Yerushalmi, that it's all because we're being mafkia midei mitzvah. So he says maybe it's not shayich to aser selling everything, but a behema it's shayich to aser because people could survive without selling behemas to a guy. So maybe they had such a minhag. Fine, but that's as far as behema daka, but you never allow to sell a behema gasa to a guy, and the reason is the Gemara says clearly in Avodah Zarah that we're afraid that if people see that the animal is being used and is being worked on Shabbos, not people see, if the animal is going to be used, if you might come to rent an animal to a guy, or someone else might come to rent or lend an animal to a guy, and he's going to use that on Shabbos, and there's an issur of shvisas behema on Shabbos. One's animal has to not do malach on Shabbos. So even though when I sell it to the guy, it becomes his, so it's not my problem, it's not a violation of shvisas behema, but if people would then come to rent or to lend it, or even if you let the guy take a test drive on Shabbos, so he's going to test it out on Shabbos while it still belongs to you, even if his intention is ultimately to buy it, so that's going to be a violation of Shvisas Behema. What kinds of animals are included? Agalim, Usiyachin, Shleimun, Ushvurin. Doesn't make a difference if the animal is very young, even an Egel, even if it's not fully grown, and even Shleimun, Ushvurin, even if it's maimed in some way, even if the animal can't really do any work anyway on Shabbos. But Rabbi Yehuda Matir B'Shvura, Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's maimed in a way that it's not going to be able to do any work, then it's going to be mutter. Ben Besera Matir Besus. Ben Besera says that you're allowed to sell a horse to a guy, that there's no issur of selling a horse to a guy because it's malacha is for riding, and therefore it's not going to be a violation of Shvisas Behema. That's one halacha in the Mishnah about selling animals to a guy. Halacha number two, Makom Shnagel Lechol Tzli B'Leili P'sachim Ochlin. Makom Shnagel Shalel Lechol Ein Ochlin. Apparently there are different minhagim about whether people would eat roasted meat on the night of the Seder. So if the minhag in the place where you are is to eat roasted meat on the night of the Seder, good, then you can eat such meat. If the minhag is not to eat roasted meat, then one should not eat such meat on the night of the Seder. Now back to the issue of selling behavior. Tosfos Maseches Avodah Zarah raises the question that apparently the minhag ha'olam was everyone was mekel, everyone would sell animals. That's how Jews made a living. They would deal in livestock all the time. They would sell animals to goyim. So what do they do about the fact that it's a beferish mishnah that you're not allowed today? You're not allowed to sell a behema gasa, and even a minhag in many places not to sell a behema daka. So Ben Besera is matir besus, and Rabbi Yochanan Paskin is like Ben Besera, but that's only a sus l'rechiva. But susim that are made for malacha to be moshech karon, to pull wagons and to schlep things for you, that wouldn't wouldn't be mutter either, right? It's even the heter besus wouldn't always work. So Tulsa suggests, based on the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, the reason of the iser is because the guy might test it out, he might use the animal. So he says you could sell to the guy al yedei safsar, through a middleman, because the behema is not going to, meaning the concern that the guy is going to test it out is that when the guy is taking it for a test drive, you want to show him how good it is, so you're going to start yelling at the animal, move, and then the animal is going to move based on your own commands. So he says if the animal doesn't even recognize your voice because you have other people who raise it for you, you just own the business, so maybe that's not going to be as much of a concern. And he says it also could be that the whole Isser was only in a tkufa when Jews lived in independent communities where they had their own economy, where they were able to support each other within their own economy. But once the Jews are living amongst the Goyim, and there's no way that they're going to be able to support themselves just by keeping everything within their own economy, so that's then maybe it becomes mutter. That's what Tosafot suggests. You can tell he's reaching, because that was the minhag ha'olam. He had to explain in some way or another. Good. So then the second halacha in the Mishnah was about eating roasted meat. Belele Pesachim. Why is it Lele Pesachim? Why not Lel Pesach? Isn't it just the night of the Seder that they have this issue about eating roasted meat or not eating roasted meat? So the Rashash says maybe this includes Pesach Sheni as well, that one should not eat roasted meat on Pesach Sheni. So it's only a minhag. This whole thing is only a minhag l'chora. One would think it should not apply to Pesach Sheni, but he suggests maybe that's what Lele Psachim comes to include. Okay, an interesting suggestion. There's also a discussion in the Achronim. Is it only on the night of the Seder, or is it the whole first day of Pesach? So the one of the Achronim, the Chubas Beis Yehuda, says, well, why do you say Lele Psachim? Isn't it a machlokas how late the Korban Pesach could be eaten, whether it's until Chatzos or throughout the night? Lele Psachim sounds like it's throughout the entire first night, even if Korban Pesach can only be eaten until Chatzos. So he says, you see from there that it's not connected to the Zman Achilas Korban Pesach. And if that's the case, then maybe it applies to the entire first day of Pesach. Maybe it's not only during the Zman of the Achila of the Korban Pesach. Maybe it's not even only at night. Maybe it's even during the day. Vaiter says the Gemara Amar Rav Yudam Rav, Asul Aladim Shiomar Basar Zeh LePesachu. A person is not allowed to say about meat that he has that this meat is La Pesach. Why? Because it looks like you're being maktish the behemoth. You're saying that it should be for a carbon Pesach, and then you're eating kachim b'chutz when you're maktish the animal. So that's why some of the Ashkachas in Europe, they don't say kosher Le Pesach. They say kosher b'Pesach. Because kasha lipesach, they think that choshesh is a violation of this. They're saying basar zeh lipesach, that you're declaring the meat to be right for Pesach. Amrav Papa Davka Basar Avul Chiti Lo. The issue is only when it comes to meat, but not to wheat. The minta lepischa kamer, because by wheat it's obvious that it means that you're setting it aside for the time of Pesach, but not that it's being makdish it l'shem karban Pesach. So frekli gemara basar lo. Are you really not allowed to say that meat is lepesach? Meisvei Amrav Yos. He told us Ishrami Hinigas Bene Romi Lechel Gadim Mukalasim Bilele Psachim, told us Ishrami told the people of Rome to eat helmeted goats on the night of Pesach, which means to roast their meat the way we would roast the carbon Pesach. That's called the Gedim Makulas, where they'd stick one spit through the animal from one end to the other end and take all the insides of the animal, and the Smachlok Tanaim exactly how to roast it. But he would tell them to do that on the night of Pesach, even without the Beis HaMikdash, when they didn't have a carbon Pesach. So Sholch Lo, the Chum sent a message to him. Il Mali Todusata, Gazaru Alecha Nidui Shata Machlis Shol Kachim Bechutz. If you weren't who you are, we would put you in Nidui. If it weren't for the fact that you're such an important person, we would put you in Nidui because you're telling people to eat Kachem Bechutz. Kachem Sal Kedaitach, who said he told them to eat Kachem Bechutz? He just told them to roast their meat a certain way. Ela Ema Karov Lachalis Yisrael Kachem Bechutz. It looks like you're being Machal Kachem Bechutz because you're telling them to make their meat the way we make our Karban Pesach. But what's the take home from this story? What's the takeaway from this story? Mekulas In Shein Mekulas Lo. That the whole problem is only if you roast it in the way that you roast the Karban Pesach. But Stam, to have a piece of meat that you buy in the butcher shop, that you say Basar Zeh LePesach, sounds like that's not a problem. It's only a problem if you make a Gedim Makulas. So it says Gemara Amri Makulas Loshna Amar Loshna Lo Amar. Now, if it's Makulas, even if you never declared verbally that it's LePesach, that's going to be a problem. She'enu Makulas, if it's Stam meat that you buy in the butcher shop, Pirish in Lo Pirish Lo. It's only a problem if you verbally declare Basar Zel LePesach. But if you don't say it, then it's going to be okay. Ravacha Masn LaHamas Nisan Krabi Shimon. Ravacha learned that this statement, this idea of Todos, was said as Amar Rabbi Shimon, Todos Ishromi, that Rabbi Shimon was the author. Mask Rav Sheshas Bisham Man Tanila Rabbi Yossi Nicha. If it was Rabbi Yossi who told the story of Todos, I understand very well. El Man the Masnik Rabbi Shimon mean Nicha, but could it possibly be going like Rabbi Shimon? Vatanan Rabbi Shimon Poter Shalos Nadiv Kederach HaMisnadvim. One of the shitos of Rabbi Shimon that we know is that in order for something to have the status of Kedusha, of Kachim, based on you declaring it to be Kachim, you have to declare it to be Kachim in the normal way, in the Derech HaMisnadvim. So to take a piece of meat and just say Basar Zel LePesach is not the Derech HaMisnadvim. So therefore it should not be a problem at all, according to Rabbi Shimon, this idea of saying Basar Zel LePesach. Why don't you think it's any better if you say that it's going like Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Shimon b'shitas Rabbi Yossi amra. Rabbi Shimon follows the basic sheet of Rabbi Yossi in a different context. Rabbi Yossi discusses if someone says harezu tmuras ola tmuras shlamim. So Rabbi Yossi holds tfos lashon rishon. We always follow the first lashon that a person says. Rameir holds that it's a tmuras ola because he holds tfos lashon rishon. Rabbi Yossi says that even the lashon achron after the gemar dvar of adam nitfas, that we even listen to the second thing a person says. So myla and Rabbi Shimon follows that. So myla mid Rabbi Shimon savelak Rabbi Yossi. So can't we assume that if Rabbi Shimon holds of Rabbi Yossi's shita about the gemar dvar of adam nitfas, it must be Rabbi Yossi nami savelak Rabbi Shimon, that Rabbi Yossi holds like Rabbi Shimon that a person is only misnadev kiderech hamisnadvim, that something is only considered to be a declaration of kachim. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi's shita about how to declare something as kachim, whether we listen to the first thing he says or the second thing he says. So isn't it logical to assume that Rabbi Yossi would agree to Rabbi Shimon's unique shita about how to declare something as kachim? So says more low. Rabbi Shimon sav like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi that if you say two things, we listen even to the second thing. V'lo Rabbi Yossi sav like Rabbi Shimon. But Rabbi Yossi does not agree with Rabbi Shimon. He does not think you have to be misnadev kiderech hamisnadvim. Ibayilhu. Once we mentioned the story of Todos Ishromi, so we said they were going to put him in Chayrim, but they didn't because he was such an Adam Chashuv. Todos Ishromi, Gavar Abba Hava, or Bala Grofen Hava. What kind of Adam Chashuv was he? Was he the kind of Adam Chashuv that he was really a really good guy, and that's why they didn't want to put him in Chayrim? He was a Tamil Chacham? Or that he was a Bala Grofen? He was just very strong, and they felt threatened by him, and they felt that if they put him in Chayrim, they were going to be in big trouble. So whereas two rayas that he was actually Tamil Chacham. Tashma, Odzu Darash Todos Ishromi. He said a famous drasha. Ma ro Chanani Mishal Vazari Shemasra Atzman Al Kedusha Shem Lekif Shana Eish. What caused Chanani Mishal Vazari? What motivated them? What instructed them to be Moser Nefesh, to allow themselves to be thrown into a Kivshana Eish? They didn't come up with it on their own. Nasu Kal V'chomer B'Yatzman Mit Tzvardim. They came up with the Kal V'chomer from the Tzvardim in the Makos in Mitzrayim. Ma Tzvardim Shein Mitzvah Nakludus Hashem. Tzvardim have no mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem and still Ksiv Buhu Uvao Valu Veisacha. Ubitanu recha, ubimisharo secha, that they even jump into the ovens and the dough. Amos, Imisharos Mitsuya say Sultanu, when is dough next to the oven? Havyom Rishasha Tanucham, that's when the oven is ready heated up, when it's ready all fired up. So Anusha Mitsuma, and they still jumped in. Anusha Mitsuma, Nakush Shemalachs Kamavakama. So we, Hanani Mishal Vazaria, who are Mitsuva and Kiddush Hashem, for sure should jump into the Kivshana Eish, because we learned from the Tzvardim. So that was the drasha, that famous drasha is Todos Ishromi. So you know that he was a Talmud Chacham. Second, Rabbi Yossi bar Avin Amar Matu Mila Lekish Shal Tamid Chacham Haya. He was a big supporter of Tamid Chacham. Damar Rabbi Yochanan Kol Matu Mila Lekish Tamid Chachamim Zoch V'Yoshi B'Shiva Shal Mala. Shneamar Ki B'Tzal Chacham B'Tzal Kesef. Someone who supports Tamid Chachamim is going to be Zoche to be Yoshev in Yeshiva Shal Mala. So this is very interesting. Drasha that he says, the idea of taking the Kal V'Chomer from the Tzvardim, all the Achronim, the Shagasari, the Sfas Emes, what's the riot from the Tzvardim from Mesiris Nefesh, even when one is not mitzvah, the tzvardim were mitzvah. It says in the pasuk, "Va'alu uvalu b'tanu rechel b'mishar secha." Means Hakadosh Baruch Hu told them beferish. That's more like Yitzchak, who was chayv to listen to his father, who had a tzivoy from Hakadosh Baruch Hu to be brought as an ola. Chananya Mishael Azari didn't have a tzivoy beferish from Hakadosh Baruch Hu to go into the kivshan eish. So what's the kal v'chomer? So Shag Zari gives the famous answer that the mitzvah that the tzvardim had to go into the tanur was not on any particular tzvardeya. It was on tzvardim that some tzvardim are going to there are going to be frogs on his head, frogs on his bed, frogs the whole song, right? Including frogs in the oven. But no particular frog had to be the one to go into the oven. And still, some of them chose to be the one to go into the oven. So that's where they got the kal v'chomer from. So Maral Diskin says he doesn't like that answer because he says someone had to go into the oven. So there was a mitzvah that they couldn't all say, we're deciding not to go into the oven. Someone had to go into the oven. So Maral Diskin says, it reminds me a little bit of the Machlokas Rambam and the Ravid about how to understand the punishment of Paro. If there was a gezerah that Klal Yisrael was going to be in Mitzrayim, so how come Paro was punished? There was a gezerah that Klal Yisrael was going to be in Golus. So so Machlokas Rambam and Ravid, do you say, yeah, there was a gezerah, but who told Paro to be the guy to do it? Well, the other shita is, what do you mean? Somebody had to do it because that was part of the gezerah. So you can't punish somebody for doing what is the ratzon Hashem. So maybe it was just because Paro went overboard. You have to give some sort of other teretz. So says Meryl Diskin, that the Tzvardim were not mitzvah at all to go into the oven. The fact that the Torah says they went into the oven, that's what they did. He was telling them what will happen, but that wasn't part of their tzivoy. That was still on their own. So I'm Sofer asked the most fundamental question of the whole thing. Chananya Mishael Azariah needed to look back in Jewish history and find a model. Where do we find someone who goes into a Kivshan Eish and is Moser Nefesh? The Tzvardim is what they came up with. Avram Avinu! How could they miss Avram Avinu and instead talk about the Tzvardim? A question to think about. We'll stop there.